This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yang tidak mengikut perlembagaan persekutuan. Walau bagaimanapun, terdapat keterangan yang mencukupi untuk menunjukkan bahwa pendatang yang bukan rakyat Malaysia diberi kad pengenalan biru secara haram oleh sindiket atau individu tertentu dan selepas itu mendaftar diri mereka sebagai pengundi dalam daftar pemilih berdasarkan kad pengenalan mereka. Tapi ini lebih merupakan pengeluaran secara haram. Dan mungkin ada sindiket yang terlibat yang dimaklumkan mungkin ada berkaitan dengan pegawai kerajaan. Okay. Jadi tak ada isu politik yang dibangkitkan oleh Suruhanjaya.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Since June, the team behind the Freedom Film Fest have been re-releasing a specially curated Freedom Film playlist every weekend, which they've dubbed the Weekend Watch with Freedom Film Fest, and this is happening on their YouTube channel. So the theme for this month is Merdekakan Minda Rakyat, and it features films that tackle censorship in film, music and the arts. And this weekend, we can catch the re-release of the film Syndicate, which looks at Project IC, which happened over in Sabah, and the controversy surrounding it. So joining me to discuss the issues tackled in the film are the film's director, Nizam Andan, and also Tan Sri Simon Sipawan, the former Sabah State Secretary and a former Vice Chairman of Suhakam. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, bagus.
Thank you so much for joining me. So yes, just to our listeners so that we know, today Nizam will be answering the questions in Bahasa and Tan Sri will be speaking in English. So it's going to be a bit of a mix for today's interview. So maybe Simon, we can start with you. So as I mentioned, you know, you are the former Sabah State Secretary. You've held various senior positions in the Sabah State Civil Service and you've been a legislator for decades, right? Can we talk a little bit about Sabah and maybe you can help explain the ethnic composition of it, you know, prior to the forming of Malaysia, because all of this has something to do with the film, of course. Could you explain that to us?
Thank you, Juliet. Sabah was known as North Borneo before it became part of Malaysia on 16 September 1963. Now, in Sabah, there are no less than 43 different ethnic communities. Then, during the time in North Borneo, the Karazan and Dusun ethnic communities comprise about 43% of the total population. At the time, they comprised the largest ethnic community and could be considered the majority. I remember during the colonial days, the census record did not state that Malay is a race existing in Sabah at the time, in North Borneo. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Now, the film, of course, is centered around what is known as Project IC. Some even call it Project M, am I correct? Which is what is believed to be a systematic operation in which illegal immigrants were given national identity cards. How did all of, you know, what you just explained earlier, you know, the ethnic makeup of Sabah, how did that tie in to this project?
Sabah is fondly referred to as the land below the wind. Now, in my view, it can easily qualify to be called the land of illegal immigrants.
Oh, dear.
You hear me?
Yes.
They have permanently altered the social, economic, cultural, political, and demographic landscape of Sabah. It is indeed the mother of all problems in Sabah. The reverse takeover of the state had started, in my view, long time ago. The invasion that took place at Kampung Tanduo in Lahad Datu on 9 of February 2013 was an attempt at direct takeover. The Karazan Dusun community has now been reduced to about 17% of the total population. In 1970, Sarawak had a population of about 1 million. In 2004, 34 years later, the population of Sarawak was 2 million. Mm. Now, in 1970, Sabah had a population of about 698,000. In 2004, 34 years later, its population was estimated to be between 3.3 and 3.5 million. Now, based on the population growth rate of Sarawak, Sabah's population in 2004 should only be about 1.3 million.
Right.
Sabah has a surplus, inverted commas, population of about 1.9 million.
That's a lot.
So that's what I can say for the time being on that issue.
All right. And okay, so maybe let's talk about, you know, what Project IC was all about, right? I think some people here maybe in Peninsula Malaysia might not be so familiar. You know, when did it allegedly start? You know, what was the main objectives? Can you explain what Project IC was all about?
The Project IC, as I understand it, is also popularly known in Sabah as Project Mahathir.
Mm-hmm.
And refer to Malaysians with dubious IC. You know,
yeah,
but this will be made clearer in the course of the interview, I think. Now, when did it start? My response to this question is based on my personal recollection.
Okay.
It started during the period from mid to late 60s, when Tun Mustafa was the chief minister. Consequent to the problems in the southern Philippines during the rule of President Ferdinand Marcos, many Muslim Filipinos were displaced and many ended up in Sabah and welcomed by Tun Mustafa and his government, especially the Suluk communities. Originally, there were only about 47,000 of them and recognized by the United Nations as refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the UN had an office in KK to handle them. Tun Mustafa himself, I believe, was of Suluk descent. And this, of course, immigration-wise, under the law, this is not supposed to be, this is supposed to be improper, illegal.
Sure.
But because I think they were Muslims, the federal government turned a blind eye to the situation. However, later, the federal government suspected that Tun Mustafa had a separate agenda. The federal government subsequently had reason to believe that Tun Mustafa wanted to increase the number of Suluks coming over to Sabah and eventually declare himself Sultan of Sabah and secede from Malaysia.
I see.
The federal government then engineered the downfall of Tun Mustafa. And of course, now the rest is history. Now, I just like to point out to listeners that Malaysia is neither a state party to the UN Convention relating to the status of refugees,
mm-hmm,
1951, nor the 1967 protocol. This being the case, all refugees in Malaysia are treated as illegal immigrants. They are subject to penalties, detention, and deportation under the Immigration Act 1959, that is during Malaya time, then stroke 63, it will then cover the rest of Malaysia. Now, this act, I believe, does not recognize refugees. Okay, what were the main objectives? The way I see it, I think there are two main objectives. One is to make Sabah a Muslim-dominated state, and two, to ensure that BN government, which of course was dominated by UMNO, continues to rule. That is why Sabah is very often referred to as BN fixed deposit. What was the modus operandi? I understand that genuine identity cards were prepared in the headquarters of the National Registration Department and brought to Sabah to be issued to Muslim illegal immigrants, especially from the Philippines. And I believe there was a special unit for this purpose.
Okay.
I remember in May of 2002 in Kampung Kota in Kenya, this is the interior of Sabah, 34 foreigners were arrested for immigration offenses. Mm-hmm. They were in the possession of my cards. At that time, my cards had not even been introduced in Sabah.
Okay.
I do not remember of any investigation being carried out in respect of that incident. This indicates to me that the federal government is complicit to the operation, namely issuing genuine identity cards to people who may not necessarily qualify to be given my card.
I guess, you know, as you alluded to, the some of the main players in this project operation, I mean, it also was known as Project M, Project Mahathir. But who were some of the other main players, in this whole thing?
For those who are interested to know the main players, who they are, I wish to refer them to the following document.
Okay.
Now, there's a book, a very thick book, actually, about 4 or 5 inches thick. There's a book called IC Project, Agenda Tersembunyi Mahathir, ? This book was written by the late M.D. Muttalib. He did a lot of research on this one. By the way, he told me he was a life member of UMNO. But he said he wrote this book after long research. Unfortunately, he passed away just before he was supposed to appear before a court or something like that a couple of years back.
Oh, I see.
And then another book called Lelaki Malaysia Terakhir, ? Also a book written by M.D. Muttalib. You know, mm-hmm. It's quite a comprehensive book. And then there's a book also done, written after long research. It's entitled Lest We Forget. This is a book by Dr. Chong Eng Leong. He is a medical doctor, still in practice, I think, but he has done a lot of research on this. And this book, he asked me to write the foreword. I wrote the foreword to this book, Lest We Forget. It's a good book to read. And then, of course, you can refer, the listeners can refer to the RCI report itself. A lot of names have been mentioned there. A lot of leaders have been mentioned there. They're all there. Now, so from the above documents, readers can also figure out for themselves who actually orchestrated it. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think it is basically a federal government agenda to achieve the two objectives that I mentioned earlier. Whether that is in fact the case or not, that is just my own perception. And perception could be real, perception could be imagined.
Okay. All right. I'm speaking today to Tan Sri Simon Sipawan. He's a former Sabah State Secretary and the former Vice Chairman of Suhakam, the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, and also to Nizam Andan, who is the filmmaker behind the film Syndicate, which is what we're discussing today. After this quick break, we're going to come back and find out more about that Royal Commission of Inquiry on Project IC that's coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Not many people know that the Project ICs that were given to them only entitles them to vote in an election. After the election, they cannot even fly, they cannot even bank account with it. So these are the problems that these migrants face as well. They came here to earn a living, and yet they were also cheated as well.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Tan Sri Simon Sipawan. He's a former Sabah State Secretary and the former Vice Chairman of Suhakam, the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, and also filmmaker Nizam Andan, whose film Syndicate is what we're discussing today. Syndicate is, of course, a film that looks at Project IC, which happened over in Sabah and the controversy surrounding it. So before the break, Tan Sri Simon was explaining, you know, what Project IC was all about, and you know, who and where we can get more references to find out more about the supposed parties behind it. Let's talk about the Royal Commission of Inquiry now. So I know in 2012, the then Prime Minister Najib Razak announced that the federal government agreed to set up this Royal Commission of Inquiry, right? And that was to investigate the problems related to illegal immigration in Sabah. The hearings began on the 14th of January 2013. Simon, how were you involved in that RCI? What were your own experiences and knowledge on this issue? What evidence did you have that this was real?
Juliet, I appeared as a witness before the RCI. Mm-hmm. Now, as the 13th general elections were approaching, the government announced the formation of the RCI on the 8th of February 2012, but without the terms of reference. The term of reference only came out later. I found this rather odd. Mm. It was like putting the cart before the horse. Normally, term of reference is important. Only then then the commission will come in.
Yeah.
Initially, the RCI was given 6 months to come up with the report. It had been the hope of many Sabahans that the report could be known before the elections. In the event, it was extended for another 6 months. You will remember, Juliet, the general election took place on the 5th of May 2013.
Yeah.
The report was submitted to the King on 14 May 2014, but only released in Kota Kinabalu on 3rd December 2014.
Oh, it's a long gap.
There was no indication of any seriousness and urgency to resolve the problem. To make matters worse, the Chief Secretary to the government announced that there was no political motive involved, despite all indications to the contrary. Now, you may remember, because he said there's nothing politics about it.
Mm.
But let me just mention an incident earlier. You may remember that the High Court ordered the former Chief Minister, Dato Yong Teck Lee, to vacate his Lika seat. It is a state seat, Dun, you know, Dewan Undangan Negeri,
mm-hmm.
because he won it in 1999 with the help of Kantam voters. That is not what I say. That is what the High Court said.
Yeah.
The judge said that the 1998 electoral rolls for the constituency was illegal, and the election held in March 1999 was null and void. The judge stated that the evidence adduced was only the tip of the iceberg. Surprisingly, the government, instead of cleaning the electoral rolls, had Parliament to amend the Election Act, whereby the electoral rolls, once gazetted, cannot be challenged in any court of law. The government does not appear to be interested in promoting clean, free, and fair elections. Yet the Chief Secretary to the government found it appropriate to claim that there was no political motive associated with the granting of citizenship and voting rights to foreigners who have no business to be in Sabah in the first place. This contention was not backed by solid evidence. Mm. He was either misinformed, which was very unlikely, or just plain politics. Now, just to come in further on the RCI, there, if I remember correctly, there were 8 terms of reference. And all were investigative rather than corrective in nature. They made no reference to the actions to be taken against the culprits. Mm. The terms of reference themselves clearly indicate the lack of seriousness on the part of the government to resolve the problem once and for all. The illegal immigrants who were granted citizenship status and the right to vote could, in my view, move to other parts of the country in search for better opportunities. Sabah is their transit point to the rest of Malaysia and indeed to the rest of the world.
Okay.
Genuine and right-minded Sabahans who are looking for relief, justice, and final solution to the mother of all problems. It is a government-created problem which was in the making for well over 40 years. Surely, after that long, any responsible government would have been able to detect the problem right from the start and nip it in the bud. I think that's important. Mm. All that was needed was a proactive approach, and Sabah would not have been saddled with this problem right now. This, I must point out, is a post-Malaysia issue. Mm. North Borneo never had this problem. Only after Malaysia that we are experiencing this type of problem in Sabah. During the late 60s and early 70s, many Vietnamese refugees landed in Malaya. They were confined to Pulau Bidong off the coast of Terengganu. Within 2 years, they were all deported. They were non-Muslims, unlike those who came to Sabah. I remember the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir at the time, was reported to have threatened to shoot them in the sea. Those who were allowed to enter Sabah are still here. There appears to be double standard, one for Malaya and one for Sabah.
Okay, all right. Let's bring in Nizam now. Nizam, you know, you also, of course, were very interested in Project IC. What were your thoughts on, you know, the findings of the Royal Commission of Inquiry? You know, how did you feel about, you know, what Tan Sri just said, you know, that nobody was held accountable, you know, it wasn't corrective, it was, you know, what are your thoughts on the findings?
Sebenarnya, ketika itu tahun lebih kurang saya buat film ini dalam 2015. Ketika itu saya masih bekerja di sebuah NGO di Sabah. Sekarang saya tinggal di Labuan. Dan kami memperjuangkan hak asasi community di luar bandar lah. Ketika itu juga saya sangat motivasi, saya tidak tahu perkataan yang motivasi terpacu lah, terpacu untuk boleh dikatakan mau menukar kerajaannya seperti kebanyakan rakyat Malaysia ketika itu, di mana gerakan seperti Bersih sudah mula berkembang, dan ya saya juga sangat dari situ juga terpacu untuk menukar kerajaan lah, sebab melihat beberapa ya contohnya seperti projek S ini yang berleluasa di Sabah, dan ya dan ketika itu juga saya baru belajar pembikinan film dan menghadiri beberapa sesi lah bersama seperti dari Dr. Chong Eng Leong mengatakan tentang Project IC, kemudian juga ada beberapa NGO dari Semenanjung, C4, saya tidak ingat C4S kah?
C4
buat beberapa inilah talk tentang Project IC ini, dan juga RC, apa laporan RCI juga sudah dikeluarkan, dan ya di situlah saya mula mau membuat film ini.
Okay, and when you were making the film, you know, I've watched the film, it's, you know, half an hour long or so, but there's so much in it, right? And you spoke to many different people about it, including Tan Sri Simon. Who are the others that you approached when making the film?
Ada juga beberapa yang, ada lagi beberapa orang yang saya tidak sempat masukkan ke dalam film itu. Seperti Dato' Yon Tek Lee ada juga. Jeffrey Kitingan, ya ada. Ya, saya rasa dua tu lagi lah yang saya tidak sempat muatkan di dalam film ni. Jadi mereka-mereka ni bermula dari laporan RCI itulah, melihat beberapa, contohnya Tan Sri Simon, melihat di situ dia salah seorang saksi, dan kami cuba dekati Tan Sri lah, dan ya. Ya termasuk Dato' Yong Tek Lee dan Dato' Jeffrey Kitingan.
Dr. Chong Eng Leong ada cakap
ya, ada Dr. Chong Eng Leong.
Yang he gave a lot of he did a lot of research and he provided a lot in the film. So like a major part of the documentary itself features people who believe that Project IC was real, but you also interviewed former Chief Minister Tan Sri Muhammad Harisaleh, who Tan Sri Simon was talking about earlier, who completely denied the fact that there was any such thing as Project IC, right? Can you give what his reasons were for saying so?
Okay, yes. Bagi saya, memang projek ini sebenarnya wujud oleh UMNO, ya, dari UMNO, dan Tan Sri Haris Saleh is juga bekas UMNO, dan ya saya rasa dia deny sebab ya sebenarnya ya sebab hanya mau menafikan kalau sebenarnya projek ini tidak wujud, sedangkan yang buat adalah UMNO ketika itu, dan ya bagi saya pendapat saya itu.
Okay.
Mungkin Tan Sri Simon ada pendapat lain.
So Tan Sri, I guess, you know, what were your reactions to Tan Sri Muhammad Harisaleh's denial of the existence of Project IC? You know, what were your thoughts on the reasons he gave?
I think I agree with Nazim because he got some sort of conflict of interest there to me, but I am a bit he's an intelligent person, and I'm surprised that he is denying the undeniable. You know, how can you deny something that is happening in front of your eyes? Either if he is right, which is unlikely, and either he is right, and all the rest who witnessed and accept the fact that it is happening and it is real, are wrong. So, but I think I agree with Nazim that the only thing, the safest thing for him maybe is just to deny it. But if you deny, you should give, you should back it with evidence. To me,
agreed. Yeah.
But I'm surprised that he denied it because it can be quite embarrassing. You, it's something like Trump, lah. You know, you. You're denying something the undeniable.
And don't give any reasons, right? Yeah. But, you know, speaking of, giving reasons, right? Tun Mahathir himself actually said, and I quote, "I never denied that citizenship was given. What I deny is that I did something against the law." What are your thoughts on that, Tan Sri Simon, before I ask Nizam his thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it was against the law to grant citizenship without complying with the proper procedures for granting citizenship. I think a lot of people applied for and wait for years and years because, you know, the scrutiny and all those. And if you grant them, if they are not qualified, isn't that against the law? Now, in the first place, these people came illegally, you know. They come illegally without travel documents and should be subjected to the Malaysian laws, immigration laws. Does Tun Mahathir think it is legally in order to grant them citizenship just like that and grant them based on false documentation? You know, to me, that is illegal. So I don't exactly understand what he means that he has not broken the law.
Okay.
His government did not act according to the law by allowing them into the country without travel documents. Try and go into the Philippines without passport or without documents. See what happened.
And Nizam, how do you feel about that statement that Tun Mahathir gave?
Saya akan bercakap tentang pengalaman sendiri tentang inilah pemberian IC ini kepada warga asing.
Okay.
Kalau saya letakkan diri saya pun warga asing dan berada di Sabah, kalau ada peluang seperti ini dan diberikan IC, ya saya tidak akan tolaklah. Sebab dengan ada IC kan kita boleh apply kerja dan banyak lagi keperluan yang kita yang kita boleh dapatlah. Dan ya saya memang ada juga beberapa kenalan yang warga asing dan inilah bahkan ketika ya apa nih diberikan katanya adalah UMNO mau bagi inilah IC dengan mudah lah just bayar beberapa ratus nanti diberikan oleh inilah dan dia bagi tahu UMNO lah yang bagi. Dan ketika itu saya rasa masyarakat di Sabah, kebanyakan masyarakat di Sabah sebenarnya tidak tahu bagaimana melaporkan ataupun mungkin takut untuk melaporkan benda-benda begini kepada pihak yang berkuasa sebab mungkin ya kita tahu juga beberapa tahun lalu pun kalau ada yang melaporkan yang melapor pula yang dicari bukan kesalahan yang dicari tapi ya dan ini juga yang inilah saya rasa yang menyebabkan ya banyak berlaku di Sabah tetapi kebanyakan orang di Sabah sendiri tidak tahu bagaimana melaporkan ataupun mungkin takut untuk melaporkan kepada pihak berkuasa ya jadi memang benar bagi saya ini memang wujud dan ya perkara sebenarnya yang wujud berlaku.
Okay, alright, and in your opinions, both of you, what complications have arisen as a result of Project IC in Sabah that still linger today? Simon, would you like to take that first?
Now, to me, the whole thing, this is a federal government created problem. It could easily become a security issue. It is a national problem, but shouldered by Malaysia and in Sabah. And I feel as a Sabahan, a Malaysian living in Sabah, this is very unfair. So I feel that the illegal immigrants in Sabah should be shared equally among all the states in Malaysia. This is a national problem, but only state of Sabah suffers.
Okay, all right. And Nizam, how about you?
Mungkin juga ini yang menyebabkan Sabah negeri yang paling miskin di Malaysia. Dan sebab kita tahu, saya tidak tahu kalau apa nih, seperti kalau dari kerajaan memberikan apa nih peruntukan-peruntukan untuk Sabah, apakah dia berdasarkan jumlah rakyat Sabah ataupun orang yang tinggal di Sabah, saya tidak tahu. Tapi saya rasa ini juga yang menyebabkan Sabah antara negeri yang termundur lah. Ya, okay. Saya rasa itu.
Okay, all right. And
can I just comment on what Nizam just said just now?
Of course.
Many years ago, when I was still with Suhakam, there was a dialogue between Suhakam and some ministries, and I raised this point. I said in Sabah, the allocation for the Malaysia plan, is it based on the number of heads in Sabah or the number of Malaysian in Sabah? And I was told that the allocation is based on the number of Malaysian. So I responded by saying, this is not very fair, because supposing I said there are, say, 1 million illegal in Sabah, and they are, say there are 3 million population and 1 million are illegal. You give us allocation for 2 million, but in actual fact, we have to share it with 3 million people. So I completely agree with Nizam. That is part of the cause of the why we are the poorest in Malaysia is actually the illegal, and I believe most of them don't have income tax record. They don't pay it, but they avail themselves of whatever amenities and facilities that the federal and city government provide.
That's a very interesting point, because you know, you don't take that. These are the long lasting impacts, you know, on the people of Sabah themselves. So, like you said, Tan Sri, you know, it should be something that's shared equally by the nation, but it's shouldered, you know, solely by Sabah, and you know, it affects the people in Sabah.
And then we are the biggest producer of oil, you know, and we only get a so-called share of 5%.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, I'm afraid we're running out of time, but, you know, for anyone who's coming to watch the film Syndicate for the first time, you know, especially for those of us here in Peninsula Malaysia who, you know, maybe don't care about Project IC or you know, think it doesn't affect us, what do you hope they will take away from the film? Nizam, you want to start first? What do you hope the viewers will take from the film that you made?
Bagi saya tidak akan menyalahkanlah warga asing ini kerana mereka mendapat IC, tapi saya lebih melihat kepada gerakan-gerakan seperti Borneo Comrade yang memberikan, sebenarnya pemberian IC ini bukan hanya kepada illegal immigrant, tapi juga kepada orang-orang yang tiada dokumen di Sabah, yang seperti pelarian dan beberapa lagi lah. Ada juga yang ya, seperti pelarian dan ada juga sebenarnya rakyat Malaysia, tapi disebabkan mereka ni tidak dapatkan, tidak ada dokumen, seperti suku Bajau Laut, tapi mereka ni juga sering digolongkan kepada illegal immigrant dan sering dikaitkan dengan pemberian IC secara inilah, secara haram ini. Dan saya tidak akan menyalahkan orang-orang ini, tapi saya setuju dengan gerakan seperti Borneo Comrade tadi, di mana mereka mula memberikan pendidikan kepada orang-orang seperti ini untuk mendapat inilah, memberikan pendidikan secara percuma dan belajar cuba hidup bersama kita lah di sini. Mungkin itu dari saya.
Okay, all right. Simon, you know, maybe just a concluding message. You know, what do you hope, you know, people who are coming to the film for the first time will understand about Project IC, and, you know, the importance or the significance, you know, of this whole operation?
Juliet, just before that, I'd like to just mention that personally, I have nothing against the illegals. They are human beings with the same human rights as other human beings. Yep. Irrespective of whether they are Malaysians or not. Human rights, in my view, have no borders. What I question is why do the relevant authorities allow them to enter Sabah without valid travel documents and move around with impunity? Now, going back to your question, I'd like to just draw the attention of listeners. Just be mindful that these illegal immigrants who initially entered Sabah could travel to any part of the country once they become citizens.
Okay.
I will not be surprised if many have already done so. Do not think that Malaya will never be affected by the problem. Many years ago, I spoke to one of their leaders who told me that many of their youths have left Sabah for Malaya. He also told me that they have obtained degrees, they have obtained diplomas, and they have better opportunities for jobs in Malaya. Mm-hmm. You may think that the problems associated with illegal immigrants are far from Malaya at the moment, but sooner or later, you might find them at your doorsteps.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both of you for joining me today. You know, and the film, of course, as I mentioned, is going to be re-released on the Freedom Film Fest YouTube channel. Just search for Syndicate and you can watch it there. It's only half an hour and, you know, you can gain a lot of insight into what happened over there and, yeah, the sort of machinations that happened to make it, you know, to make this project a reality. My thanks again to my guest today, Tan Sri Simon Sipawan, who is the former Sabah State Secretary and former Vice Chairman of Suhakam, and Nizam Andan, who is the filmmaker and the director of Syndicate. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.